for the A10 phone call, and it's Tuesday.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you very much for your attention, and now we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the takeoff. The captain has made tell.
It's Tuesday's True Travel Tales. Jay Ratliff on the line. Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning.
And, of course, every week brings new surprises, including, I think my favorite from this past week was a couple of days back when apparently someone tried to get aboard an airplane with, I guess, an unusual kind of, quote, weapon, unquote.
Well, it was a toilet paper dispenser.
Okay.
It sounds harmless enough, but it looked like a gun.
Okay.
It had the handle, it had the barrel, So it's something that apparently, you know, people make, and apparently something people buy. And this guy showed up at the TSA security checkpoint at Newark. And, of course, all the bells and whistles go off, and they stopped everything to find out what in the world it was. So he was not allowed to bring the replica gun on board an airplane, the same way you cannot bring a paperweight that looks like a hand grenade on an airplane, which happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people, and I get emails from people saying, gee, I can't believe that they took my fireworks away from me at the checkpoint, and I respond by saying we call those explosives at the airport, and that's one of the reasons we tend not to let those on. So, you know, for some people, they just don't think anything of it, and they'll show up at the airport with whatever, and they're rather caught off guard when, you know, all the attention comes their way when they have something that's considered, you know, not a good idea. You can always go to TSA.gov if you're not flown for a while, kind of review some of the things that are there, and many times they'll even have a post of some of the more unusual things that they have discovered over the year. And every year it's a new record number for guns and different types of things people are bringing on. It's just they forget they have them, or they just think it's okay.
See, I would just assume not to bring anything that looks like a gun, but is there anything on that list off the top of your head, Jay, that perhaps we might not think about that might accidentally get brought on that we didn't realize would be stopped at the gate?
Well, I mean, throwing darts, some people look at those as something that they can have. You know, of course, people try to bring samurai swords and a bunch of other things, which, you know, are on the obvious side of the ledger. But it's fascinating. And when the TSA comes out with their list of, gee, guess what we found this week, it's a lot of fun to look at. And it's great to throw up on your blog, too, because it just gives you a chance to kind of chuckle at other people. But that's one of the other reasons as we're approaching the holiday travel season, why it is so imperative to arrive 2 hours in advance of your flight. Now, some people say, Jay, look, that's okay for a great big airport, but not for mine. But the problem is, if you get there, if you decide to play the game of let's see how close I can cut it, and the TSA checkpoint is shut down because of someone having something like this toilet paper gun or whatever, they're not going to hold the plane for you. That airplane's going to leave on time. So if you're not on the other side of that security checkpoint at the gate when the door is ready to be closed, you're sitting there watching it leave. So you can't blame anyone else. And it's, you know, we go to amusement parks. We stand in line for, what, 3 or 4 hours sometimes to ride a ride, or we'll go to a movie and stand in line. But yet for an airport, for a trip that we planned for, I don't know, the last 6 years or something, we still want to have the thought of getting there as late as we can. And it's never, ever, ever a good idea.
Jay, what's unique about what Alaska Airlines is doing with flights to Hawaii?
Hey, this week they've got a fare sale. And they're basing, I love this, they're basing the fare sale on the height of the waves for surfers.
Okay.
So if the waves are, you know, cresting 30 feet, whatever they might have to be, and I'm not a surfer, so, but they will give a 30% discount this week if you want to fly to Hawaii. Now, you don't have to be a surfer to take advantage of it, but I'm assuming it's a slow week for the Alaska to Hawaii traffic. I don't know, but I think it's a fun, it's a fun discount. One I've never really heard of before, but yeah, it's based on, and if the waves are only, you know, 10% or 10 feet high, they'll throw in a 10% discount, and you can take that off of your fare, and away you go.
You said you haven't heard one like this, or at least this one, you know, with the height of the waves and stuff like that. Is there anything similar that you've heard of like this?
Well, I remember, you know, I have to go way back here, but before the days of deregulation in 1978, all the planes went from point to point, and they'd make 7 or 8 stops along the way. They were direct flights. You never had to get off, but they kept going. So after deregulation, we decided to, not we, but the aviation industry went to hubs, where you would fly to a city, big city, you would change planes, and you get on another flight, and away you go. You'd be on 2 planes, but you'd get there far faster. People were scared to death to get off the plane. And it was a situation where they basically had to give us incentives to change planes, you know, to take that chance. So there was one airline, Republic Airlines, that said, if you will take your trip through a hub there and back, we'll give you a free round trip ticket anywhere we fly when you get back. Problem was that there was no mileage requirement on that. So you'd have somebody in, let's say, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, flying to New Orleans for a hub, over to Gulfport, get off the plane, get right back on, and fly right back for like $44 in the morning. They went through a hub, they connected, and then they got a free ticket. That was something that sent that airline to the brink of bankruptcy. Another airline said you could fly for free a second passenger with 3 proofs of purchase from a rice check cereal box. So you'd have people bringing these boxes of cereal to the airport, ripping them open with cereal going everywhere. And, of course, we didn't think that was a real good idea. And, you know, there was a real tragic situation. If you remember the United Airlines crash, I think it was 283 in Sioux Falls, where we had that DC-10 that had no hydraulics, and it's amazing that they were able
to
land it. On that day, United had a Kids Fly for $1 campaign.
Ooh.
And there were several kids on that plane. So
I didn't know that.
You know, it goes from fun to tragic, and I hate to put a downer on it, but I mean, airlines are always trying to come up with different things that they can do to, you know, give discounts for pets. I've seen sometimes where, you know, pets pay this, the adults pay, you know, $5 or something. It just anything they can come up with to be creative. But look, a lot of those things came about during a time when our load factors were, you know, 40-50%. The plane was barely half full. Now that you have flights that are 85-90% full many times of the year, they don't really need too many incentives. And as that, they're going to charge what they want. But, you know, thank God for those low-cost carriers, because those carriers are forcing these larger legacy airlines to keep their fares low. If you look at an airfare comparison, it is cheaper when you factor in inflation to fly today than it was 30 years ago. And I always challenge people, you tell me one thing outside of electronics that's cheaper today than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And yet air travel is, and yes, we have to endure it because it's a pain in the butt. You don't enjoy it anymore, but it's as safe and it is as cheap as it has ever, ever been.
All right, True Travel Tales. Jay Ratliff, also, he's really good at the stock market thing. I noticed record highs in the Dow again. Is that going to continue, Jay?
I think so. You know, it's one of the things I'm really looking at is the Fed, because historically speaking, when the Fed has 3 interest rate cuts, as the Fed has done here now with the third consecutive one, one of the things that we look at is if there's not a fourth, in other words, if there's a pause, the market tends to react positively for like the next year. So that could speak very well. Now, if the Fed, which is a lot like Dennis the Menace, they've got to always jump in and meddle with things. If they keep wanting to do these cuts, then we could see kind of an adverse reaction there. But guys, I mean, look, since the president was elected that day, all those years ago, the market is up. S&P is up 40%. 40%. And it's just, it's unbelievable when you look at, like, the jobs report on Friday with, you know, they were thinking maybe 85,000 new jobs would be created because of what was going on with the General Motors strike and other things. No, 128,000 jobs were created. And, of course, the market continues to soar. Pre-market's up this morning. And one stock that we had some fun with of late was American Airlines. We were looking at that once it started dipping down under $27, $26, $25 a share. Grabbed some of it and selling it off today at $31 a share. And we've got some people walking away with a 20% profit on that bad boy. And it's always fun when you get your money out of the market after a nice profit.
All right, True Travel Tales. Jay Ratliff, you've got a great website if folks want to find out more.
daytradefund.com if they have any, or jratliff.com. Either one will get them to them, or they can Google Jay Ratliff stocks and find me. But if there's any aviation or stock questions, send it through that, and just as quickly as my schedule allows, be my pleasure to get right back to you.
All right, perfect. Talk to you next week, Jay.
Looking forward to it. Thanks
so much.